Hi, and welcome to Jolly's Fall 2017 podcast series. This is Heidi Hadley, the principal editor of the Journal of Language and Literacy Education, a peer-reviewed open access journal housed in the Department of Language and Literacy Education at the University of Georgia. Today, I will be speaking with Elsie Lindy Olin and Kia Jane Richmond about their manuscript titled Disrupting the Dominant Narrative, Beginning English Teachers' Use of Young Adult Literature and Culturally Responsive Pedagogy. Elsie Lindy Olin is an assistant professor of secondary English language arts at the University of Central Florida. Kia Jane Richmond is the co-author of this manuscript and is a professor of English at Northern Michigan University. Thank you, Elsie and Kia, for joining me today. I look forward to hearing more about your work. Elsie, can you start off by telling us what the impetus was for this study? What were you seeing in classrooms and in research literature that prompted the questions you were hoping to answer?
The impetus for this study started with our noticing the frequency with which beginning English teachers expressed concerns about entering classrooms being held hostage by the secondary school curriculum in terms of the literature they are being asked to teach. Based on work by Freeman and Freeman in Latin and Billings, as well as Goring and Connors, we notice that teacher educators have acknowledged the need for culturally relevant literature and young adult literature. Teacher candidates hired into full-time English positions report being asked to teach mostly canonical texts, sometimes in prescriptive curricula. We positioned our study in the context of Appleby's research and that of Cherry McDaniels and Young, whose research on high school curricula demonstrates that canonical texts still represent the majority of literature being taught. Cherry McDaniel and Young state that canonical texts represent what students and English teachers already know about novels, literature, people, and experiences. They argue that 21st century English teachers have learned the viewpoints of the dominant white, male, heterosexual, Western culture through the literary canon, and because of this history, English classrooms have been colonized by these experiences. In order to disrupt this continued colonization, in our essay, we expand upon Cherry McDaniel and Young's metaphor of a chorus of voices while we discuss two teacher transitions from method students to classroom teachers. Both beginning English teachers' voices highlight the value of the young adult literature as culturally relevant text in their pedagogical practices. Their voices represent a change that is new, audible, distinctive, and unexpected in the course of the merry song of the dominant narrative, one in which teachers' voices are loudest and students' silent submission is expected. In this study, we sought out to inquire as to how, if at all, do English teachers' stories indicate difficulties they have with bringing in culturally relevant young adult literature to their English classes in the secondary schools? How, if at all, do English teachers struggle with the application of culturally responsive pedagogy during their early teaching experiences, even after additional exposure to coursework in young adult literature? The perpetuation of canonical texts being used in high school English classroom continues, despite the prevalence of alternatives. So, why does the literature not change?
Kia, would you give us a brief overview of your participants and their teaching and classroom context?
With pleasure. Our participants were two white females, both 25 to 35 years old, one teaching in a Midwestern rural setting, Lindsay, and one teaching in a Southern urban setting, Kathy. Both participants are beginning teachers and had attended secondary methods courses in which they crafted stories about their experiences with young adult literature and canonical texts in and outside the classroom setting. Both young women chose to attend graduate courses with the researchers following their initial preparation as teachers. We want to acknowledge that our participants are part of the nearly 85% of all secondary teachers who are white, monolingual native English speakers, many of whom have had little, if any, training working with culturally linguistically diverse learners, many of whom benefit from white privilege, and many of whom hold deficit-oriented beliefs towards young people of color. Lindsay teaches 9th and 10th grade English, as well as a college credit course to 12th graders through a nearby technical college, and her school is located in a rural area in the Midwest in a predominantly blue-collar working community. Kathy, on the other hand, teaches 9th and 10th grade English in a diverse urban Southern school, and each of her classes includes a number of students who are English language learners. Both Lindsay and Kathy were very fortunate to have supportive administrators and mentors in their schools.
LT, you were looking at not exactly resistance, but maybe hesitation by teachers to implement more culturally responsive texts in classroom spaces in this article. How did Bakhtin's work on dialogism help you to make sense of what you were seeing?
Yes. In fact, during our data analysis, we identified a series of themes that depicted teachers' hesitation. We found that these beginning teachers expressed uncertainty regarding the place of young adult literature in their curriculum and sought guidance from mentors. Their stories demonstrated difficulties they have had meeting students' needs, which included connecting with characters and plots that resonate with their life experiences. Also, they struggled with the dominant narrative of a standardized curriculum that perpetuates teaching the same text regardless of who is in the room. Moreover, they did not feel empowered to challenge the dominant narrative. It was through dialogic interactions where teachers revisited their stories, reflected with their mentors, disrupted their notions, and through interpretation, problematized their current pedagogical practices, teaching environments where these themes emerged. We relied on Bakhtin's perspective of language when we engaged in dialogue with our participants, when we interpreted data that resulted from our interactions, and when we restored their narratives in the study. Through our restoring of Lindsay and Kathy's narrative, Bakhtin's dialogic theory provided a conduit for us researchers to interpret the beginning teachers' experiences while engaging in dialogue with participants and each other. The dialogic nature of the narrative research provided us with a new understanding of beginning teachers' learning as multiple voices brought forth insight into Lindsay and Kathy's personal and professional identities. They became cognizant of students' cultural identities and needs as well as their own. Lindsay and Kathy, through dialogue and reflection, reflected on their practices and beliefs as well as their experiences as teachers in training, taking courses in methods of teaching English and young adult literature. During these interactions, tension and dissonance were welcomed as part of the dialogic process. It is during this dialogic interaction that Lindsay and Kathy established connections not only to their lived experiences, teaching and learning, but also to their students' needs. We believe that when teachers are afforded narrative practices, opportunities to share their narratives, and spaces in which to experience tension, they will revisit their assumptions and make more informed decisions regarding their instruction, pedagogical practices, and beliefs.
Kia, what results were most surprising to you, and why did you find them surprising?
Well, the results weren't really surprising, but were more revealing because given our current education system, our participants' uncertainty regarding the place of young adult literature in their curricula was not really expected. They began valuing the multivocal voices in their classroom and moving toward enacting culturally responsive pedagogy. And they became cognizant of students' cultural identities and needs as well as those of their own. Lindsay and Kathy reflected on their practices and beliefs and experiences as teachers in training, taking courses in methods of teaching English and young adult literature. These secondary teachers make decisions about curriculum within a very narrow scope. The authority of the school board and the curriculum seems sacrosanct. Beginning teachers shouldn't question the curriculum. However, what Lindsay and Kathy started to realize is that they can enhance and strengthen their teaching by bringing in texts that are culturally relevant. Lindsay said, for example, sometimes it's hard to bring up taboo topics in a classroom, yet young adult literature has allowed me to have honest, open discussions about what characters are up against, mainly because the students themselves have faced similar obstacles and may not have had an avenue to discuss their feelings or experiences or concerns. While problematizing her classroom, Lindsay reflected on the value of young adult literature as a means to address the students' emotions and needs. She knew that the traditional texts offered by the school didn't provide all the answers. And likewise, Kathy said, "I've begun my journey of having culturally responsive pedagogical competency by realizing that my students are unique not only to their cultural backgrounds, but even more importantly, unique in and of themselves. I'm able to begin helping them find their third space within my classroom." Both of these teachers felt somewhat more empowered and built confidence in their knowledge and expertise so that when they made decisions about their lessons, they valued their own voices as well as those of experts in the field and the school administrators. Kathy noted, "It's my responsibility to my future students not to be complacent with the current canon, but to offer new and innovative ways to blend both the new young adult literature and the old literature." Both Kathy and Lindsay met with their professional community and their administrators to see which young adult literature texts they could bring into the curriculum, which is typically focused on literature that has predominantly been taught in the secondary schools, aka white, Eurocentric, privileged, heterosexual, able-bodied perspectives that are portrayed in the literary canon. As researchers, we learned that beginning teachers can strategically position young adult literature to supplement, enrich, and disrupt the dominant narrative to better inform their students' understanding of canonical texts. Young adult literature also helps beginning teachers create culturally responsive connections with their students, which provides relief from the dominant narrative, and it also serves as a conduit for cultural and intellectual inquiry for those students and themselves as educators and members of diverse communities. The beginning teachers can engage in dialogue to bring forth their own and their students' lived experiences so that they can frame their teaching within a culturally responsive lens.
Elsie, what do you think are the implications of your research moving forward, both for teachers and for researchers?
The valuing of students' voices is part of a wider response to the cultural needs of the community in which beginning teachers should participate. The pedagogical implications we discussed were derived from Lindsay and Kathy's narratives, which suggests the following. Young adult literature can help beginning teachers create culturally responsive connections with their students, which provides relief from the dominant narrative. Young adult literature serves as a conduit for cultural and intellectual inquiry and helps humanize the curriculum, which meets the goals of social justice. Kathy and Lindsay have continued to seek out opportunities for professional development and intellectual inquiry through graduate courses and educational conferences. They have also maintained a relationship with their teacher-educator mentors, which provides them a space for continued dialogue and inquiry. Furthermore, both Lindsay and Kathy have participated in meetings with administration and teacher leaders in which they stated their desires to incorporate more young adult literature, culturally responsive teaching, and texts that address the social inequalities that students are facing in the 21st century. Our stories as teacher educators, researchers throughout the study have changed as well. Like Lindsay and Kathy, we have reflected and become reflexive through the process of restoring their narratives and considering how our own positionings have transformed as English teacher educator researchers. In addition, we have revisited the programmatic needs of our English education students and more fully acknowledged the dominant narrative that prevails in our field and the counter narratives at play. In fact, while writing this piece, we considered and reconsidered our own method courses discussing specific texts used, assignments created, assessments employed, and field experiences required, and made plans for the course revisions based on our interpretations of these beginning teachers' narratives. Moreover, we were reminded to be authentic and responsive to our own students' needs while exposing them to different theoretical and pedagogical perspectives through young adult literature and culturally responsive pedagogy. Kia Jane and I have continued with our research agenda, where we are examining teachers' narratives, inquiries, and reflective practices in local and international teaching environments and professional development settings. We are actively revisiting our method courses and have recently developed new courses in which we have implemented the knowledge that we have acquired from this research about culturally relevant literature. Also, out of this inquiry, two main projects have also come forth. Kia Jane is writing a book examining how mental illnesses are represented in young adult fiction in the 21st century. She's also speaking to teachers and pre-service educators about confronting stereotypes and providing ways to include in the curriculum more authentic stories about adolescents with depression, anxiety, OCD, and other mental illnesses. I'm co-authoring a book series, Transformative Pedagogies for Teacher Education, that feature the work of teacher educators across the globe that are engaging in alternative pedagogies grounded in social justice to meet the needs for all students.
Thank you, Elsie and Kia, so much for speaking with me today. I found your work to be so interesting, and I think that Jolly readers will find it useful as well. Readers, to learn more about this article, check out Jolly's fall issue to be published in November.